Welcome. Welcome to Encountering God. I'm Tom and Sarah. I'm just here. We're going to be talking about more about this secret place, more practical things today than talking around things. We're going to talk specifically how to do this. We do have more scriptures that we'll go into at another time. But right now, I want to just discuss this a little bit in order to have you get a picture of the how-tos in the secret place. Now, again, I don't want to be dogmatic and say this is the only way to do it. This isn't the only way to do it. There's many more. I remember a gentleman had asked A.W. Tozer if he could watch him pray. Hi, Loretta. Good to see you. He asked A.W. Tozer, can I watch you pray? And the guy says, yeah, come on. So him and A.W. Tozer went into this room and they were praying. And A.W. Tozer went to lie down, and he was lying down, and for 7 hours did not say a word. It was really awkward for this guy. And he thought A.W. Tozer had fallen asleep, so he's sitting there just watching him. And after the seventh hour, A.W. Tozer starts to pray. He goes through, I don't want to say a list, but he goes through some things that he was praying about, souls, more that God would reveal himself to him. And so after everything was over, after the 8 hours, he said, so what did you do for the first 7 hours? Did you fall asleep? He was kind of giggling. And A.W. Tozer said, no, what I was doing was admiring the wonderful love of Jesus. And so for 7 hours, he did that. Now, I'm not going to say that you have to pray 7 hours, 8 hours a day. That's not what I'm talking about. But he had such an admiration for the secret place that was his place where he could just be with Jesus. Now, he had time to do that. I remember a gentleman, if I mentioned his name, you'd laugh, but he used to come out and say that the devil wakes up at dawn, at sunrise, so you need to pray before sunrise. So we would all, as teenagers, newly born again, within a few years, we would just start to get up every morning to pray and then just before sunrise. And then we would get ready for class. And, a number of years later, this gentleman, we kind of asked him, how do you do that? Because you're up all day and then, you're up at before dawn, and then so you're up about 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, whenever sunrise is, and you pray, and then you're up all day until later. So how do you do it? And he said, well, after I'm done praying, I go back to sleep. And I'm like, oh man, made me so mad. I was mad in a Christian way, I was just kind of like, you kidding me? So it just didn't work out. But so there are different ways that we have to do this. And again, I'm gonna let you know of a couple of books by Madame Guyon. One of them is called Experiencing the Depths of Jesus Christ. You can get that on Amazon. And another book is called Experiencing God Through Prayer. The purpose of it is to teach us how to experience God. The reason why we go to pray is not to give God a list and get going. The reason why we come to pray is to experience God in some way. Jesus never just gave God a list. He would commune with God. Imagine, this may be a little, 1970s-ish, but just imagine the husband getting ready to go to work, or even the wife getting ready to go to work, and you have the husband staying at home, the wife staying at home, whatever, and you just kind of give a list to them of things you'd like to have done today before they get back from work. You do that every day without communion, without fellowship. That marriage ain't going to last very long. So you have to know that. And the same thing with God. He's drawing us closer. Song of Songs talked about that, that he's drawing us to the higher places. And we need to go to the higher places. He says, come away with me, my love. He wants you to come away with him. Whatever that looks like. Now, some people don't have 2-3 hours a day. At this moment in time, I get up early enough where I can pray, lay before the Lord and just hear his voice and just to hear his love every day. I get to do that. Not everybody gets to do that. Some people, like new mothers, only have like 5 or 10 minutes. You know, there's people getting ready to go to a board meeting. Well, you know, I often say, you know, when you're driving, you can commune with God while you're driving. You know, you can commune with God when the baby takes a nap. I know I had five. I know four of them I raised and or helped raise. And it's one of these things that I know how, man, they're taking a nap. I want to take a nap. Many times I got up in the middle of the night because the baby needed to be fed. And I couldn't just go back to sleep. Once my mind started, that was it. You know, so I do recognize that there are, as we can say, obstacles. But oftentimes, we put ourselves against the wall, or we walk ourselves into the corner against the enemy because we're not spending time with Jesus. In Isaiah, he talks about the glory of the Lord being our rear guard. And a lot of times, if we're not spending time with him, his glory, his presence cannot guard us because we're not in his presence. The whole purpose is to experience God, to experience. That's what this podcast, that's what these Facebook Lives, you know, I really felt God calling me to just say, these are encountering God moments. This is not just me sharing my heart. This is encountering God moments. I'm telling you how to do it. So how do you do it? One of the things that Madame Guyon talks about is meditating in the Word. You come, you know, you're just not reading to get through to read the Bible. Now, I've read the Bible a number of times through in my 47 years as a Christian. I've read my Bible a ton of times. And I want to say that I read it through Genesis through Revelation, and it was great. I mean, I had some great things, and I have some, you know, great recollection of verses and stuff. And God, you know, all of a sudden I came to this that I needed to meditate in his word. And what it is, instead of reading the Bible 4 chapters a day, which I got to tell you, if you read 4 chapters a day, you can get through the Bible by October, I think just before Halloween. And you can do this. It's really cool. And then you can spend the rest of the year just cherry picking through. But you can read your 4 chapters a day, but then you can go back and you can read scriptures meditatively. In other words, you read a column or you read a couple verses until something sticks out at you. And then for 5 or 10 minutes, you close your eyes and you just chew on it. What does this mean? What is it saying to me? And then you can pray it. There's nothing like praying God's word back to him, right? You know, a lot of people are under stress. I got there, man. I had 2 nervous breakdowns, 2018, 2019, into the year 2019. And I don't know if it was one really super long one or if it was two, but, you know, my chest was hurting. I had no feeling in my left arm, my left side. I had no dexterity. There was nothing. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that I wasn't spending as much time as I could with the Lord. I wasn't meditating in his word, and I wasn't praying, and I wasn't spending time with him, and I wasn't encountering him. Now, I did the stuff. I mean, those of you who know me know I love to worship. I love singing, and that's, you know, I'm having a little trouble with my pitch now, so it's really tough. I don't want to kill you by singing off key, but just know I love doing it, and I'll do it in my room. I'm by myself because I don't care if I I don't care if I sing off key to me. So in this process, in this moment, I'll take a scripture. And in fact, let's do that right now, if you don't mind. Let's do this. I'm in the Passion Translation, and I'm looking at Song of Songs, chapter 1. Okay. I'm just going to, you know, just kind of go through this thing. Jerusalem maidens, in this twilight darkness, I know I'm so unworthy, so in need. Chapter 1, verse 5. The Shepherd King says, yet you are so lovely. The Shulamite says, I feel as dark and dry as the desert tents of wandering nomads. The king says, yet you are so lovely, like the fine linen tapestry hanging in the holy place. Shulamite says to her friends, please don't stare in scorn because of my dark and sinful ways. My angry brothers quarreled with me and appointed me guardian over their ministry vineyards, yet I have not tended my own vineyard. Won't you tell me, lover of my soul, where do you feed your flock? Where do you lead your beloved ones? To rest in the heat of the day, for I wish to be wrapped all around with you. As I wander among the flocks of your shepherds, it is you I long for with no veil between us. That's 5-7, Song of Songs, chapter 1. So what I would do is I would start to meditate in this. I would start to look, okay, who's talking here? First of all, you have the Shulamite. Now, the Shulamite is actually the female form of the word Solomon, okay? So this Shulamite represents me. I would put myself in this picture, and I would look at these people. You know, they're talking to her. They said, we will remember your love, rejoicing and delighting in you, celebrating you. Your every kiss is better than wine. No wonder the righteousness adores you. And then she says, I know I'm so unworthy, so in need. You know, a lot of times we look at ourselves through our eyes and we think that that's how God sees us. Remember, you will only think of yourself the same way that you think of the person who you admire the most, what you think they think of you. And for many years, I had this feeling of, I just had this emotion that God was up on this Abraham Lincoln type of a throne, and he had a long beard, and he was stroking his beard, and he was thinking of ways what he was going to do to me if I had fallen. And unfortunately, a lot of people have that same thing. And so I would meditate on this, and I would think, yeah, I'm so unworthy. But what is the king's response to her? What is the king's response to her? He said, he didn't even acknowledge that she said that. He said this, you are so lovely. Hey, Janet, he said, you're so lovely. I'm unworthy. I'm just unworthy. I'm so in need. Yet you are so worthy, or so lovely. So I would meditate on that word lovely, and that word lovely, I would look it up in a dictionary. It means exquisitely beautiful. I'm unworthy, all of my sin, I'm so in need, yet you're so lovely. You're so exquisitely beautiful. And when he says that, he's talking about her inside and out. He's talking about you inside and out, how lovely and how beautiful you are. And then she says, I feel as dark and dry as the desert tents of wandering nomads. And he says, yet you are so lovely. Yet you're so beautiful. Now, in meditating on that, I feel dark and dry. What is that? Just try to put yourself in the desert, okay? Put yourself in the Sahara Desert or the Baja Desert, whatever you want to do. Just go somewhere. Go to the desert. Go to the Kalahari in South Africa. I don't care where you go. Into the desert. It's desolate. I flew over the deserts, and some deserts, and I was like, this is really desolate, man. There's nothing there. There is no life. There's no water. All it is just heat, the heat waves that would just keep coming up. It's crazy. And I would meditate on this. Yeah, this is what it is. But why does God? And then I would start asking the characters in there, why are you feeling this way? Why do you feel this way? When you are in the presence of pure love, when you are in the presence of righteousness, you get this feeling of unworthiness that is from the flesh. It's not from God. It's from the flesh. So I would go into the place where like, wow, I just think the wrong thoughts. So I have to be transformed by the renewing of my mind and start thinking God's thoughts. I'm exquisitely beautiful. I would tell myself that every day. I am exquisitely beautiful. Wow. And it is His righteousness that makes me righteous. He calls her the fine linen tapestry hanging in the holy place. Remember how intricate God was when he gave the directions on how these things need to be made in Numbers, in Leviticus and Numbers. How intricate he was about it. I want it looking this way. And then he says, you're just like the fine linen tapestry. You are inviting. You are the welcoming tapestry that's in the holy place. The thing that was meant to separate man from the Holy of Holies is actually supposed to beautify that entryway and be the welcoming beauty that happens to it. Okay, and then I would meditate on that a little bit. And then I would pray. I would pray this scripture. Okay, I would pray this. I would say, Lord, you know, sometimes I just feel unworthy. I don't deserve your love, which is true. I don't deserve it, but God, in your grace, not only a grace poured out, giving me what I don't deserve, but God, what you've ended up doing is that you have filled me with your righteousness and you've empowered me to live for you. I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that you think I'm exquisitely beautiful. I thank you, God, that though I may feel dry, though I may enter times when I just feel dry and lonely and desolate, yet you still are there and you still think I'm beautiful and you still think I'm lovely. And when you do that, even the maidens will look at you and they'll say, wow, look at you. Look at you. You're so beautiful. And then you can look at the Lord and say, I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of your holiness. You're so beautiful. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Okay, so that was just a few minutes. Hi, Michelle. And that's just a few minutes. And what happened was we were able to meditate on a word. And this is what you can do in those moments. That's what you do to encounter God. You fellowship with him and you have a love affair with him. We'll pick up on some of these things tomorrow, talking about the secret place. I'm going to look at Adam, going to look at Abraham, Adam and Noah, and finding out their secret places and what they did. Okay, so till then, we'll talk to you later. Have a great day.